Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic. One note to pass along real quick. This just coming out. The Nashville Sounds have postponed their game tonight against Louisville out of an abundance of caution due to the weather. Looks like we're going to have some pretty severe weather later in the day and through the evening. So they will have a season opening doubleheader tomorrow starting at 5:05, pregame at 4:50 on 94.9 The Fan. So just wanted to pass that along if you were planning on going to the game tonight. Also on 94.9 The Fan, we have the VSiN Network. Talking sports betting, something we launched last year, bringing on VSiN, and it's been awesome to have them as a part of our family. Wes Reynolds from the VSiN Network joins us now to talk a little betting for this weekend with the Final Four. Wes, how you doing?
Morning, Wes.
Thanks, Michelle. Good morning. How are you?
Doing fantastic. It's awesome to have you because, listen, this is exactly how we drew it up. We knew that it was going to be San Diego State, a 5 seed against FAU, a 9 seed, and then Miami, a 5 seed, and UConn, the 4 seed. No ones, no twos, no threes. That's what we all had, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I have one left in my bracket, and I feel like I'm ahead of like 95% of the people just having that.
Well, I was already told that in my bracket pool, I'm finishing last, so that means I get my money back. So,
you get a mulligan. That's the best thing about it.
So, I would assume that UConn is probably the team that everybody's going to latch on to as the favorite with the Final Four remaining, but you tell me if I'm right or wrong on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And spoiler alert, that's the one team I have left in my bracket. I did not have the foresight to put Florida Atlantic or Miami in there, but yeah, UConn right now is the odds-on favorite. Just looking around town here, they're actually as high as like -130 or -140. So when there's a minus by their name and there's four teams left, they're the odds-on favorite. And look, rightfully so. I think that they've been the most impressive team in the tournament. They're the only team left that really hasn't had what you would call a test this tournament. They haven't had a close game. You look at FAU, they could have been eliminated in the first round against Memphis. Found a way to win at the end. Close game against Tennessee, they had to come back from down against the Vols to beat them in the second half. Miami could have been out in the first round against Drake. They find a way to make a run at the end, and then off they go on their run. And then San Diego State had a couple close games, of course. The closest game being to Creighton there in the Elite Eight with the foul call at the end, but they also got down 9 against Alabama in the second half, then went on a 12-0 run and put the Crimson Tide away.
So did you, when you were filling out your bracket and putting bets in for this tournament, I know for me, I felt like this was one of the hardest tournaments to read in recent history just because of how, you know, basketball went this year. That, you know, you had some teams that you thought, okay, yeah, they're going to be there. And, you know, Purdue was obviously the biggest upset of the tournament, but did you feel like it was kind of hard to get a gauge on things even at the beginning?
Yeah, absolutely I did. Just because of the fact that you didn't really have that dominant team this year. I mean, you always are going to have favorites. You always are going to have teams that are going to be like, you know, right at the top of the food chain in college basketball, but you didn't have, if you go back a little over 10 years ago, you didn't have like a 2012 Kentucky when Anthony Davis was there in Lexington, where they were like the clear best team all year, and they were the team to beat all year. You didn't really have that here, and you had some teams that, quite frankly, have not been used to being the favorites because you didn't have Duke and Kentucky and Kansas necessarily. You had Kansas for a little bit, but you didn't have all those teams up there. So you had teams that were kind of new to being number one seeds or being top five ranked teams in the country, the Houstons, the Alabamas, and the like. So Marquette was up there as a very high 2 seed. So you weren't used to that. So I thought that this was going to be unpredictable. I didn't think we were going to have 2 5-seeds, a 4 seeds, and a 9 seed, however.
Wes Reynolds from the VSiN Network joins us. Wes, there are 37 people out there who did pick this Final Four, and I wonder what their ages are or if they just randomly went through it all. But switching over to the women's side of things, I have always counted on Dawn Staley to cover that spread. She covers it quite a bit, but I'm looking at this matchup between Iowa and South Carolina in the women's tournament tonight. And Caitlin Clark has been an absolute superstar. I mean, the 40-point triple-double the other night. How do you view this game? I did see that South Carolina is about an 11.5-point favorite, so the money's coming in on them. How do you view this game? Do you think that spread is a little bit too big?
Well, I think you got to consider it somewhat fair, Michelle, just because of the fact that South Carolina has been the wagon all year. They've been the number one team from the jump, and 36-0, you can't really argue it. And plus the fact that number one defense in the country is South Carolina, and that's what makes this matchup tonight, I think, so fascinating, and why you're going to see a massive television rating, I think, even on a Friday night for this game. The Iowa-Louisville game, actually, the Elite Eight game on Sunday, had a bigger rating than any NBA game on ESPN. So ESPN got what they wanted with South Carolina against Caitlin Clark. And this is the clash of defense and offense. I mentioned South Carolina, number one defense, but Iowa, the number one scoring offense, just under 88 points a game. It's not just Clark. They have several other starters in double figures, but this is a step up in class, I think, really for both teams, because much has been made about, oh, well, Iowa has never seen a defense like South Carolina. Well, South Carolina hadn't had to play against a dynamic offense like Iowa with the player that has basically in the gym range like Caitlin Clark. So when I was looking at this, I didn't look at the spread. I looked more at the total, and I would be willing to go over 149, 149.5, 150, simply because I think this could play out a little bit like the Maryland game in the Elite Eight for South Carolina, where they get a comfortable lead, but they don't quite blow them out, but they get up, you know, in the mid-teens, close to 20 points. And then Iowa's just going to keep running their offense, and Caitlin Clark is going to keep shooting. So you could get some points in, like, garbage time, where it's like the game is still not settled, but it's not close enough. So I think this is going over the total tonight.
Would you sprinkle a little money on Iowa on the money line?
I would not. I don't see them beating South Carolina. I just think South Carolina is too athletic, too physical, too tough. Even though the Big Ten, this has been kind of the glory year for the Big Ten in women's basketball with Iowa, Maryland, and Ohio State, and arguably the best team in the conference was my alma mater, Indiana, who was a one seed who got upset in the second round by Miami. Mm-hmm. And here we go again. You know, we have two SEC teams in the women's Final Four with South Carolina and LSU.
Yeah, who could potentially be, you know, facing each other. Well, Wes, when you take a look at both Final Fours right now, men's or women's, is there a particular, you know, prop or parlay that you are really liking and hitting on this weekend?
Well, I look at a couple player props because it is so hard, I think, now when you're down to four teams. These lines and the point spreads are as tight as they are going to be. So it's hard to find that edge, you know, when you only have two semifinals and one final game left. So player props are probably the way, I think, to really get involved in this game. If you're not really sure for the side, and then, you know, but you want to be involved, but you want to have some action on the game. So one player prop that I played actually is in the UConn and Miami game. And I did go under the points, and you can also go under what is called the PRA, the points, the rebounds, and assists combined. And that would be Nigel Pack for Miami, who has been just a great shooter and a guy that, you know, has scored a lot of points so far. But he's against a really good defense, and he's against UConn, the eighth lowest effective field goal percentage in the country. So he's a guy that hunts threes, too. He's not a guy that really gets to the foul line very often. He is out there to stand out there in a spread offense, get some open threes, but he's not really a driver to the basket in this Miami offense. So that's why I went under Nigel Pack, 14.5 points, under 19.5 points, rebounds, assists.
We're talking to Wes Reynolds from VSiN. He joins us talking a little sports betting and baseball opened yesterday, Wes, and excited for that because I love Major League Baseball. I think the Astros are kind of viewed as the favorite, but there's a group of the Astros, the Braves, the Yankees, the Dodgers that are in there, then the Mets just behind them. Is there a dark horse team, though, that you like for potentially winning the World Series?
Yeah, you know, when you're looking, I think the usual suspects are clearly going to be up there. And even if the team lost yesterday, like the Astros, you don't necessarily want to make a snap judgment after one day. But, you know, if I'm looking in the American League, I think the Toronto Blue Jays, we've kind of been waiting for that team. And look, they're in arguably the toughest division in baseball when you have the Yankees up there and you also have the Tampa Bay Rays, who you can never discount. It's like, there's the Rays. You look at them on paper and, you know, all of a sudden that they're there at the end. So I think the Blue Jays, we've been waiting for a couple years for them to emerge, but they've moved the fences in actually in Toronto. So I think that's going to be really good for Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette. I think they're going to put up huge numbers this year. So in the American League, I would say Toronto is the dark horse. In the National League, I think a lot of people are a little bit more lukewarm on the Dodgers. They've actually been a popular season win to go under the total. I think they closed 95.5, even though they get a win over the Diamondbacks last night, just because the Dodgers lost so much. They lost both the Turners. They lost Justin Turner. They lost Trey Turner to Philadelphia, who I bet 12-1 to win National League MVP. And the Dodgers are having to replace a lot of offense. And you have a pitching staff, especially led by Clayton Kershaw, who's not getting any younger. They're going to have to really manage his innings. So he's not going to be a guy that goes to the sixth or seventh inning. And that's something that you kind of saw yesterday. Even early on, I know we hear the term load management in the NBA. Load management is part of Major League Baseball, too, especially with the pitchers. You don't want to run these pitchers out there, you know, right away and burn them out where they're going into the seventh inning and they're eating up innings going forward, because you want them healthy for the postseason. So, you know, it's a different baseball as well this year, because I don't know if you guys saw the times of the games with the pitch clock now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So many of these games went under 3 hours. I think you had three games go over 3 hours yesterday, and they were the highest scoring games, you know, Philadelphia and Texas, Baltimore, Boston, where I think the score was 10-9. So far, at least through one day of a sample size, this pitch clock has seemingly shortened these games.
Well, and I'm curious real quick, Wes, of how the, you know, the no shift, the bigger bases, so maybe leading to more steals or, you know, more safe plays at first when it's close, how that might affect betting when it comes to overs or anything like that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think when you look at season wins, like there were a couple teams that I played that I don't expect are going to be playoff teams or World Series contender, but their win totals were in the mid-70s, and that's the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Florida Marlins. Those are teams that you look up and down the lineup, they don't have a murderer's row of a bunch of home run hitters and a lot of power in the lineup, but one thing they have is they have speed. And those teams with a lot of, you know, guys that steal bases, that move around, you know, try to get the runners over, kind of old school baseball, I think those teams are going to be a little bit better in that regard. And I also think it helps that they're playing less division games. For a team like the Diamondbacks, it's like, okay, you're playing 18 less games against the Dodgers and the Padres, who are clearly two World Series contenders. So I think that helps teams like that. In terms of the over-unders, I think they were about dead even in day one. So some days you're going to have big over days. Some days you're going to have big under days. So, you know, it really all depends. Early on, you usually see more unders anyway in the Major League Baseball seasons because it's cold. Because it's cold outside. And, you know, usually you get unders. And then when the temperatures kind of heat up in June and July and so on and so forth, that's where you get a lot more runs on the board. So, yeah, I'm going to be interested to kind of monitor this trend a little bit. And I was actually talking on my show last night with former Cincinnati Reds GM Wayne Krivsky. He thinks that this pitch clock actually is going to hurt the hitters a little bit more than it is the pitchers, because the pitchers obviously can control the game because they have the ball on every possession, simply put, you know, like the quarterback. So it's going to throw off the timing of the hitter. So I think you're going to see more unders at least early in the season.
Well, I think it's going to be fun for sure. Wes, appreciate you doing this today. Really enjoyed the conversation, and we will definitely do it again soon.
Thanks, Wes.
Thanks a lot, guys. Good to be with you.
Absolutely. Wes Reynolds from VSiN. You can check him out there on 94.9 The Fan, where we have the VSiN Network. And coming up next, Michelle, we will make our selections for the men's and women's Final Four as it is this weekend. Looking forward to that. That is coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.